Proverbs chapter 5. And we're taking a look here at taking a walk through the book of Proverbs and trying to hit high points in this book, a great book of instruction. The mind of God, if you will, I believe is revealed in this book. It tells us, the morality of God, that for man and morality, the truth regarding of our behavior is contained in this book. And there's much instruction here. If we'll take the book of Proverbs and consume it, feed upon it, make it a part of us, put it in our hearts, put it down in our souls, it'll be there for the Lord to take and to use, and we'll have great blessing from it. We'll be saved and help to stay away from wickedness and from sin. We'll by virtue of that, our relationship and our walk with the Lord will be peaceful and not full of guilt. Physically, we'll save ourselves some much toil and anguish and grief. And just a great blessing in it, these pithy maxims of the preacher that the Lord has given us in this book. They just cut to the chase and come right down there and deal with us in the issues that we need. In consideration of Proverbs chapter 5, I want to remind you of what it says in Exodus chapter 20, and in consideration of the Ten Commandments there in Exodus chapter 20. You know, they are like the pinnacle, if you will. We know that sin is sin. Sin against God, transgression against God, is transgression against Him. It's sin. Yet there are, by our estimation, and even revealed in the Scripture, not that some sin is safer with God and other is less safe, but there are degrees in things, and there are levels in things. I mean, the Lord says that some sins are abomination to Him, and that He tells us that way. And so the fear that I have when we get into ranking sins is that we might become or have a thought or an attitude of becoming bold. But listen, all sin brings forth death and destruction and misery. All sin against God displeases Him.
Right.
And so we need to remember that. But here in Exodus 20, verse number 14, and this is a good passage, I believe, to note there at Proverbs chapter 5, because the subject about this chapter is going to involve this, and regarding mankind and the relationships between men and women, the Lord says here in Exodus chapter 20, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt not commit adultery. And so mankind, in the use of the body and in intimacy that the Lord has provided for marriage, or that which has been taken and corrupted, as Romans chapter 1 tells us, is one example of that. This commandment is the blanket for all those things. Okay, it's telling, and it's like, if you will, adultery is the worst. Okay, now there's some egregious sins, and that of sodomy and lesbianism, bestiality, all that. I mean, that's nasty and wicked before God. But He's making the statement in the Ten Commandments about all those things, and thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the header for that, if you will. And so here in Proverbs chapter 5, this is a book, a chapter, if you will, that's going to deal with instruction regarding promiscuity. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Fornication, adultery, chasing after the wrong thing. This chapter deals with that. I've read this chapter, a part of this chapter recently, but there's some other things we want to pick out here and that we might be helped. Our young people, I mean, we as a middle-aged person, I need instruction about this and reminding of this. Our young people indeed need it, and even the older need it. We all need it. If you're a people, if you're a person, we need this reminder of what God says. It is noted, I think 10 years ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that, that I think I heard on the news that promiscuity is rampant amongst the elderly. Can you believe? It's rampant amongst the elderly. They'll go and they'll move to these retirement facilities. I know a brother and sister in Christ that live in a resort type of retirement facility down in Florida, and it happens. Some spouses die. The one is left there alone. There are several in that case, and the promiscuity runs rampant amongst the elderly, and it's wicked. It's just wickedness, and it need not be. And so we all need this reminder. We're all tempted, and we need reminded of what the Word of God says, that we might be faithful to the Lord in what He says. Here the preacher, the father, Solomon, is instructing his son, but it applies to all. Women are not, daughters are not off the hook. It applies to us all. But the context here is son, but it does apply to us, and it can work either way. He says here in verse 1, "My son, attend to my wisdom." There he is again. "Listen to these wise words and bow thine ear to my understanding." Put that ear over there and listen close, "that thou mayest regard discretion." And we've seen this word in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. It's talking about being to have wisdom, to have shrewdness, to be perceptive of what's going on, and to be clever in the right, good way. Listen to what God says, and don't be lured into a thing. Don't be tempted in a thing, or resist or yield to that temptation, but rather resist it, and to be aware of what's going on. Don't get suckered in to some mischief. My parents used to tell me, if you don't want trouble, don't hang around with people who go find trouble. Hey, don't get off in a, they warned me, they said, don't get off in a carload of boys that have no control about what they're going to do and where they're going to go or whatever, because you're going to get yourself in a situation that you're going to be had. They're going to say, "We're going to go here. You don't have the keys. It's too far to walk home, and you're stuck." And so watch out. Don't go that way. And that we may be wise about when trouble is coming our way. He says that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. And we've seen this word knowledge in several different chapters as we've looked at them already, chapters 1 and 2 and so forth in several places. This is talking about cunning. This is talking about being aware, talking about being witty, to understand, to know what's going on. And then he goes on here, the context of the chapter, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." This word "of a strange woman," that's the word that's there. The ways that this word, this Hebrew word, is used in the Scripture. This is talking about a foreigner. This is talking about one that doesn't have anything to do with you, one that is not yours. It can also be used to define the committing of adultery, this word does. It talks about, it was interesting here, a synonym of this word, a strange woman, is a fanner. One that fans something that shouldn't be, okay? And so this strange woman, her speech drops as a honeycomb. It's smooth as oil. Look out. Look out for that. It can be the other way. Look out for those men, gals. Look out for those men that can be smooth, a smooth talker. You know, brethren, we need to be faithful in our marriages, and we need to love our wives and not just can't tell them that we love them and love them as we love ourselves. Because in many times it happens that a man takes for granted his wife, and a wife is then goes off and finds attentiveness by another. And by that very thing, by that lack of maintenance in the marriage, one is drawn away. Okay, and so we need to value and we need to esteem what is very valuable in our marriages, and we need to cultivate our marriages and not just let them run on their own, but we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, and so he is attentive to his church indeed, isn't he? But this one that is strange, that's foreign to the one that's here, whether it be a man, whether it be a woman, I think the application got smooth words. Look out. Words that you want to hear. Words that fit and words that are desired. But look here in verse 4. "But her end..." Their end is bitter as wormwood. And this wormwood is talking about a curse. Yet again, another word. It's bitter. It's the end of this thing. It's going to be deemed to be sweet. But one that is pursuing these things just to snare another, that once they have them, once they've got what they can get out of them, will just laugh. They'll just laugh. They'll just abandon them. And we've seen that even in recent times with those that we know. It's just sad, and it's just so grievous. It's grievous to that person to whom it happens to and that gives into that thing, and they're ruined by it, and it's grievous to those around them that love them and see those things happen. And it's so. It is so. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. A double-edged sword doesn't need as much effort to press into the body as a single-edged, because it's cutting on both sides. And it's a deep wound. It's a hurtful wound. It's a wound that from which there may be no recovery. This word wormwood, used in the Old Testament scriptures, is even used, I think, the parallel in the Greek translation is used over in Revelation, because some of the judgment that the Lord is going to pour out upon the earth, speaking about the things He's going to due to the waters and such. But in Jeremiah 9:15, the Lord dealing with His prophet, dealing with the nation there, He says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink." Bitterness. I mean, bad bitterness. And if this word, I didn't look up this word gall, but our gallbladder makes gall. I don't know about all the way the system works, but I tell you what. Well, I don't want to get disgusting either. But anyhow, you know, have you ever got sick and had to vomit? That's just nasty, isn't it? Okay, because that part is supposed to stay in our stomach, but because of our illness, we may vomit up even those stomach acids. And they are bitter and burn and hurt, okay? Not wanting to be gross, but that's how bad it is. That's terrible, isn't it? That's terrible. And that's the way this is. And that which would be foolish, that which would be simple, said, "Well, I can control the situation. I can hide the situation. That it won't get a hold of me like that." But it will.
That's right.
It will. There's nothing different between us all and our ability to involve ourselves with that which our body would desire and not reap the wickedness and the hurt that goes with it. Let us not think that we're super Christians and we can parse that out. We cannot. And then Jeremiah 23, verse 15, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood." These prophets that have not spoken in the name of the Lord, they've not spoken the truth, "and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land." And so we just want to understand about that word. This word wormwood is that which is the most bitterest, the most bitter of all. Let us be warned. Young people, be warned. Middle-aged folks, be warned. Older folks, be warned. We need to stay with that which is ours. It goes on in verse number 5 of chapter 5 of Proverbs. "Her feet go down to death." And you know this pithy maxim here, he's driving it home. Death. That's talking about the place or the state of the dead. This word can also figuratively mean pestilence. Pestilence. You know, when mice get into stuff, they just defile it, don't they? When the rats get into things, they just defile it. They ruin it, they use it up, and then they leave a mess all over it. We've all seen that. And that's what this is. Her feet, this one that is looking to lead astray another, go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, the grave, the pit, the hole where the body is laid. May the Lord help that it be understood. Verse number 6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life." Don't even go there.
Amen.
Don't even ponder it.
That's right.
It hurts to look. Don't look. What Brother Mike said it. He said it well. I like what he said. It's one thing to see. It's another to look. It's one thing to see. There's no sin, there's no transgression in us seeing a thing that comes up, but then when we go and then we look, then we're in control of that. And may we all beware. May we beware. The Lord said what He did about a man lusting after a woman, and that if he does so, he's committed adultery in his heart. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life. Don't ponder it. But if you do, understand her ways are movable. Understand this. Her ways are movable. Don't even ponder that. Thou canst not know those ways because they're always changing. They're always changing for what? They're always changing to fit what's going to sucker you and me in the best. That's the way that it is. That's the way that it is. That's where they're moving around. You know, in Proverbs 4, we saw last Wednesday, in Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't enter into it. And go not in the way of evil men. It says in verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Put that path, that way, consideration, put it behind us. Don't even look at it. Don't even consider it. Because her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Verse 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. They're true words. They're good words. They're righteous words. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Don't walk down there and say, well, that's where they live. Don't do that. Don't even go there to be able to see it. Amen. Don't even go over there to look on it. Don't even look at it to consider it on the TV guide. Or turn over there to the channel to see the beginning of it. Or to go down there and see if they're home. Don't even go there. You hear what I'm saying? Don't flirt with it. Because remember what it says in James. In James chapter 1, verse number 12, the Scripture says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Trial or temptation to do wickedness. Understand the difference. And that chapter, we've looked at that chapter here in the last year. But I'll remind you, in the first part of the chapter, on down there to the middle part of the chapter or so, it talks about the Lord trying our faith. And He will put before us, either by allowing or directing, I believe, where we will be tempted to follow Him in a thing or obey Him in a thing. But the Lord will never put in from us, this is the work of Satan, the Lord will never put in front of us temptation unto wickedness. The Lord may put a trial or a testing to us to unto obedience or disobedience. Okay? But it's Satan that tempts sinners to sin, to do wickedness. Understand the difference? Understand that the difference is that the Lord will try us and test us to obedience or disobedience in a thing. But Satan will tempt us, not try us, but tempt us unto wickedness. The Lord will never put pornography in front of us to test us. I don't believe that. Satan will. Okay? But the Lord will take and maybe put an issue or allow an issue with our family and put to test us about whether we're going to serve and obey Him or not. See the difference? Sin is sin. But the Lord's never going to tempt us unto wickedness. But it'll be an issue and a test of obedience or disobedience. Now I understand disobedience is sin and disobedience is wicked. Okay? But it's not going to be unto a vile thing. Okay? Need more explanation about that? I'll try to help out in that. But that's the way I understand that. And so James tells us, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, is what it says. Neither tempteth he any man with evil. Okay? So the Lord never does it with evil unto wickedness. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's why don't go down there looking at the door of their house. Don't flirt with it in our minds, in my mind, in your mind, that, yeah, that's down there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because with this old flesh, when it gets fed, it'll take over. It will. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. It's manifested in the flesh, from the heart to the physical. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives good gifts. And it says earlier in the chapter, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. The testing of the Lord, like Job was tested. Wow, boy, that's tough. But that brought a blessed thing in Job, didn't it? That was the way the Lord had decided that Job was going to grow. Count it all joy, because patience and faith will grow. Hear ye now, therefore, back in Proverbs 5:7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, or this one. Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, verse number 9, and thy ears to the cruel. Honor, the beauty, comeliness, excellency, glory, goodliness, majesty, you give it away. A good reputation, lost. And just a reputation that takes years to build, lost in a moment. Lost in a moment. Reset, rewound in a moment. And thy years unto the cruel. Why? Because when the wicked pursue and seek to entice, as we saw in the last chapter, when they've used up you, they'll throw you and me away and they'll go for the next one.
Amen.
And then we saw in the previous chapter that when they get old, too old to work their mischief, then their own ways will destroy them. Understand that. Understand that. Evaluate. May God help us that we would evaluate. We won't find the good gift of God in their path or their way or in their house. We won't find it there. And giving away our years unto the cruel. Verse number 10, lest strangers, and it's the same word as used there in verse number 3 of a strange woman. This is the same word here in verse number 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Remember in chapter 1 where it said, let's have one purse. Throw it on here. We'll just all have it together. Taking that has taken years for you to build, and then just take it and blow it. Blow it in an instance.
Right.
Destroy a home. Destroy a family. Destroy a marriage. By virtue of adultery, so hurt our children and grandchildren. They got to help us. Every one of us here tonight is susceptible. We got to understand that. We're not bulletproof to this. We're not. But the Lord's able. And we need to be instructed. And we need to receive it. May the Lord help us and keep us in these things. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Different word, but meaning nearly the same thing, a non-relative. You know, my children don't have much hope to have gain much inheritance, okay? But if I would pursue after this way, it would be terrible for one that is not of my family to gain physically and the blessing that we have in our family, for that to be destroyed and taken away.
Amen.
See, that because that which I was to have in a continued blessed marriage and relationship with her mother would be stripped away and taken away, and then that would be fractured and damaged before them,
right,
wouldn't it? We need to beware. Amen. It is a wicked day. It's a wicked day. May God help us. May God help me. May God help you. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And then here he tells, he's very honest, and the Lord is very honest with us. He needs to be. It is negative, but it is the result of this is negative. And it says in verse 11, and thou mourn at the last, when it's too late to go back. And thy flesh be consumed, and thy body are consumed. Sexually transmitted diseases. And those things, I think it's speaking of that and even more. The end of this will be devastating and can't go back. Can't change it. Can't undo it.
Amen.
Can't reverse it. Can't wish it away. Want so much to be able to go back to day before yesterday. Can't do it. It's too late. It's done. It's done. And say, how have I hated instruction? Then this word instruction we've seen in chapters 1 and chapter 4, talking about chastisement, talking about reproof, talking about warning. He said, I hated it, and here I am. And my heart despised the reproof. As I was going to say in the next verse, my teachers and my instructors, they were getting on me. They saw a thing in me, and they warned me. But now it's too late. And if I'd have just listened, if I'd have just listened to what they said, if I'd have just listened. In verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, and I didn't incline. Remember what he said in verse number 1? He says, bow thine ear to my understanding. Get down here close, son, and listen. And let this sink down in your heart. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. I have not inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. And there's an exclamation point at the end of that verse, isn't there? A grievous declaration of, oh, I was even warned, but I didn't obey it. I did not obey this rebuke, this reproof, this instruction. And in verse number 14, I find it to be an interesting verse. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Ever wonder about that verse? I have. I've wondered, well, what all does that mean? You know what? What can be? You and I can be putting on the facade of faithfulness even in the assembly of the Lord, and be involved in or near the point of nearly being consumed by our sins. You know, but a facade isn't truth before the Lord. If we've sinned against God, we need to confess it before God. If it's public, we need to confess it before the church.
Amen.
And we need to be honest. And we need to beware of quote-unquote friends that would draw us this way. Do you have friends that are susceptible to this, that would draw you this way? We don't need to have friends like that.
Amen.
We don't. They're not friends.
Right.
They don't seek our best, and they don't seek the best of our family.
Right. Amen.
And we need to beware. We need to be sober. We need to be understanding and cunning and understanding and hearing what comes through from communication of quote-unquote friends like that. May the Lord help us that we not live with a facade of faithfulness, but we be faithfully, truly faithful. Remember in Psalm 132, I think it is, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. That word guile means deceit. salvation by the Lord and service of the Lord is not by deception, but it's by the truth and faithfulness. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. You know what? Maybe it's Solomon speaking about himself. He was there. He was king. He was running the country. He had the great blessing of God. Everything, you know, from the standpoint of being king and doing all those things, the righteous judgment and all that, worship even of the Lord and all that. But there in the midst of all that and looking great, he's got wives and concubines of foreigners and those that hold to pagan gods and all that. And he's had a good show. But it was all a train wreck. And he being king, who would rebuke him? God was the only one that could rebuke him and if you will, get away with it. And then we come to this section here in verses 15 through 20. Save yourself for your marriage. Married, then save yourself for your marriage. Not married, then save yourself for your marriage.
Amen.
Been married and your spouse has passed on, save yourself for the Lord. And only seek to marry in the Lord if the Lord has that for you to come. But save yourself. Be faithful. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. This is speaking about marriage. It's not talking about property ownership. But the sweet language of the Scripture, amen, it conveys what needs to be known. This isn't talking about good property ownership. It's talking about marriage. Drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Don't share that with anybody. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Don't share your marriage with anybody. Don't share your spouse's spouse. You hear that? You with anybody else. All right? You don't want to share your spouse with anybody. Don't share yourself with anybody. Let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. That intimacy that God has made, He made it in the garden, and that's where it's to be held, is there in marriage. And be thou ravaged always with her love. That's what the Lord says. And let it be so. And why wouldst thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman, with a stranger? They don't care about you. They won't give you their heart. They'll just use you for what they can get out of you. And then move on to the next one. Stay away from that. Stay away in friendship from people that are that way. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? What blessing and goodness will it bring? It won't, will it? What will there be that will come forth from it that will be lasting? There won't be. There won't be anything. The flesh may be satisfied for a short season, but then will come guilt and shame and the loss of the previous state of innocence. We just can't ever go back, can we? Once we transgress into thing, you just can't go back. There is forgiveness, but you can't undo what we've done, can we? Can't do it. And then remember that the Lord is watching. Verse number 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. I mean, the Lord's up there, you know, and the Lord doesn't strain about anything, but the Lord's up there going, Look at that. And the Lord doesn't wonder why anything, but, you know, in the way we say things, why would they do that? You think about the Lord pondering your goings? I need to think about the Lord pondering my goings. We need to think about the Lord pondering and thinking. Nobody gets lost in the shuffle with God. Get a hold of that. We don't hide from the Lord in any way. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He sees it all, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. We saw that in the last chapter, and even before. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He thinks he's got it great. All the while, the cords of sins are just binding him up. Binding him up. What sin have we ever committed that just kept on giving the thrill and the excitement or the satisfaction of it continually? They all say, come back. Don't they? They all say, come back. Come back again. A little bit farther. A little bit more. Pay a little bit more. And stay longer, right? His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. Oh, what a terrible thing. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. He'll be deceived, ravished by his sin, made to wonder, transgress, make a mistake, and it'll be too late. Won't be able to undo it. And once death comes, you know, from the human standpoint, once death comes, can't even be forgiven. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help and keep us.